This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in and welcome you to a brand new week. It's getting here, right? We've got week zero college football. We've got to deal with one more preseason game, then we're on to the NFL. So it feels like finally this week, on August 19th, on a Monday as we sit here, it's right over there. It's ominous. Here comes the football, so let's get prepared. We've got plenty to do. Today, the big guy, Dustin Swee's in a mood. I just want to warn all of you, and we'll get to our guests and what's on tap for the program, but the big guy's in a mood. A bit of a management mood. I dealt with him earlier today when we were going over the program and setting it up, and he's just kind of lecturing me, going off. So we'll see how Dustin Sweetelson didn't have his four-hour sojourn with Will Hill yesterday on a little live bet Sunday. You'd think he'd be in a good mood. I just try to deal with it as we welcome you back. Again, off of COVID, off the hunger strike, feeling great. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. There he is, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D in downtown Las Vegas. You know, part of the mood might be I'm taking a look at the weekend results. He did go 2-11 on the picks, which isn't a great weekend. Mike Somich took the collar, 0-6. So we try to improve upon what happened this weekend. You throw it away. You just toss it, and we get right back up on the horse. Speaking of the horse, let's go ahead and show you what's on tap today. Dan Mullen is going to join. Looking forward to the conversation with the former head coach there, Florida, of course. Dan Mullen, now ESPN. Looking forward to Dan Mullen for joining us. Derek Carty is going to join. Get you some Major League Baseball plays. You know what we like to do. No live bullets as we welcome you into the program. So we're going to give you with the family plays. And, of course, Dan Mullen and Derek Carty, we're going to get you a bunch of plays ready to go today. Steve Fezzik is going to join. He's a professional handicapper, and he's a professional wet blanket. I don't know if you saw his text messages. Now, Steve, you know, top of mind, and you can get your questions in for Steve Fezzik. Of course, it's sharpmoney@vsin.com, Dustin Sweetelson. And Fezzik just completely going through. He's got a beautiful mind. I'm told I can say that again. But his mind just works differently. And he's got teams that he's high on, teams that he's down on in the NFL before the season starts. We'll get to those coming up in just a bit. And then he threw this in here. We had a tremendous time on Friday. New management with our buddy Steve Cohen, Mr. Raider, loves Gardner Minshew, and he loves the ponies as well. So we had a lot of fun on Friday betting on Saratoga, then into Del Mar, Dustin. And here's a note from Fezzik. Let's discuss why all the horse racing discussion is wildly entertaining. However, in my opinion, there is no chance we are going to actually be able to win doing it. So he has spoken. And he's tearing us down, wet blanket style, so we're going to have to confront him, professional handicapper Steve Fezzik, when he shows up.
I won more in a misclick betting horse racing on Friday than Steve would have won had Purdue won in round one of the NCAA tournament 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, maybe he can tell us another tale of him playing Gil in tennis. That'll do it. I mean, seriously, two middle-aged men running over there without a backhand. Nobody cares. People, like, horse racing, at least we can throw together an exotic, a little
Hold
pick,
on.
Four, pick five.
I'm not
trying to win something here.
I am not even a horse racing guy, but I think one thing we have to acknowledge about the sport is it gives you opportunities every single day. All summer on this network, I flip it on, YouTube TV, it's fantastic. Love watching VSiN on YouTube TV. So convenient, watch it on my phone, wherever. Turn it on, everyone's complaining. Rob Manfred's ruining baseball. Why is there no day baseball today? Why is there no day baseball right now? It's August 19th. Most kids are not back in school yet. There's a chance to have action on something. Baseball's not giving it to you. You know who does give it to you? Every single day, horse racing.
Yeah, and people that aren't into horse racing, they say you can't win at horse racing because they can't do it.
Sure.
It's pretty simple. I know plenty of people that make a ton of cash betting on the horses. It just like Steve makes a ton of cash betting on football.
Yeah.
Different strokes, different folks.
I'm not good at science, so I say I can't go to the moon. Whether we win at all is another conversation for another day.
Right. And if you want to know the answer, just ask Kyrie Irving. So, again, we start up the program. When we start on a Monday, we reset Circa Survivor. Everybody should know we've got the big broadcast, the first of a five-part docuseries coming up tonight on X on YouTube TV. and of course over at vsin.com. We'll throw it up there, the quests for $9.2 million. You can watch it live, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's going to broadcast on X, vsin.com/survivor, and YouTube TV. Superstars all over the place here at VSIN. I'm looking forward to that live broadcast. And speaking of Survivor, we've got our Sharp Money Survivor, which starts every Monday here on the program. And Dustin, who's up this week?
It's going to be our guy. This is quite a name. Jake Novakovic. Not Nova Scotia.
He was a fullback for the Cowboys.
That's Jay Novacek. Went to Wyoming. I tried to do a book report on him, and he did not return my calls back in fifth grade. Jake Novakovic from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's going to go of the player prop variety later today for a Sharp Money Survivor play. What Sharp Money Survivor? Well, every day we give you, the listener here of the program, a chance to compete for $550 from Patrick and mine's wallet. All you have to do, get a pick right on a Monday, you pick again Tuesday. You win that one, you pick Wednesday. You lose any along the way, you're eliminated. Goodbye. Next contestant starts on Monday. So far, our leader, Nish Gandhi, 5 in a row atop the Survivor standings.
Nish Gandhi, you got there, big guy. You got there. Nish Gandhi, you were battling. No, you were battling. You were bad. It's early in the week. That sentence started, the paragraph finished, and I was pulling for you.
There were not as many.
I was sweating,
but no, there
was pulling for you.
I missed a few commas in there. There was probably supposed to be a couple commas that I glossed over.
It's okay. It's just broadcast. Yeah, Nish Gandhi, our doctor in Pittsburgh, the sharpest guy. I'm sorry. I'm in a loopy mood. So Sharp Money Survivor, we'll try to get a streak, pick or die, going today. Feels like you wanted to say something?
Nope. I am perfectly content in leaving everything I just said on the floor for to live forever.
I think that's probably a tremendous idea. Now, the theme coming out of week two of the preseason is the quarterbacks. Now, we told you, 10, 14 days ago, you could still get plus money on Gardner Minshew. I want to start there with the Raiders. That looks like, cover your ears, Mr. Cohen, and cover your ears, Mr. Samich. Fezzik is down. Professional bettor is down on the Raiders. We'll get his explanation when he stops by the program. We didn't love the Antonio Pierce approach to naming a starter. Like, why would you paint yourself in a corner? Why would you tell the media after week two of the preseason, we're going to name a start? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Less is more, Antonio. Keep it in your pants. Okay, chill out. No reason. It's Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Now, there's a couple things with this. First off, you know, if you know Gardner Minshew, you know the play breaks down and he tries to create something. So that's kind of what he does. He plays YOLO ball. Instinctually, I think he's a fine quarterback. He played well. Steichen coached him up last year. So if you coach him up, you can win some ball games with Gardner Minshew. O'Connell, on the other hand, first off, I'll tell you why it was such a ruse. And this wasn't a competition going into week two of the preseason. Essentially, O'Connell, by the numbers, completing over 72% in the preseason. Minshew's south of 50%. The numbers are better with O'Connell. He did throw an interception as opposed to nothing from Minshew. But O'Connell had a better preseason. And, of course, Antonio Pierce is named Gardner Minshew the starter. Let's hear from Pierce, big guy.
Yeah, look, it wasn't the prettiest quarterback battle of all time. And as you mentioned, he kind of forced their decision after week two of the preseason. And this was Antonio Pierce after the game, just kind of recapping how things went there down the home stretch.
I mean, everything. I mean, you can't take one, you can't take the good and not take the bad, right? So wish it ended well for both gentlemen, right? And it just didn't. And we'll look at it, we'll evaluate. They both had opportunities. Aiden had 20 attempts, and Minshew had 21. So about as balanced and as we can get it, and we'll look at it. Obviously, you saw what our plan was tonight. Throw the ball around, let these guys showcase what they can do, and boom, we'll talk about it.
Okay. One quick question. What the hell did he just say?
He said, I wish it went better, but it didn't. He literally said
My man rolled out after naming a starter and said, that sucked.
Yeah. I don't know why would he say that?
Look, I think it's refreshing. The Antonio Pierce experiment is going to be good for us.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, maybe in the locker room he's loved. You got to get rid of the tobacco. Not for me, because I am riding Zin.
I think that's tobacco-less, by the way.
It is tobacco-less. Thank you very much. I'm already ahead of the Raiders. over here blowing
more
rings.
More progressive.
He shoots from the hip. I guess we like it.
Can we hear it again? Can we hear it again, please? I want to make sure I'm not
Raiders
going
fans.
Did he not say, I wish it went better, but it didn't? Here's Antonio Pierce again on the way the quarterback battle went.
I mean, everything. I mean, you can't take one. You can't take the good and not take the bad, right? So wish it ended well for both gentlemen, right? And it just didn't. And we'll look at it. We'll evaluate. They both had opportunities. Aiden had 20 attempts, and Minshew had 21. So about as balanced as we can get it, and we'll look at it. Obviously, you saw what our plan was tonight. Throw the ball around, let these guys showcase what they can do, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, the snake's not walking through that door. Kenny Stabler, if you're thinking about fading the Raiders, you definitely are going to fade the Raiders after that comment. Now, it's 6.5 in the market, juiced up $1.30 to the over.
Okay. That comment just led me down a rabbit hole. I am looking to see if any book has these odds. I don't see it. So I'm going to start this conversation right now. You think the Las Vegas Raiders are going to sign Colin Kaepernick to play quarterback this year?
Are you doing this to me on a Monday? You've had a rough start to the program. And now you're going to hit me with Neil guy? That's not happening. If you think you're hoodwinking me into a Kaepernick conversation on a Monday on a betting network, you've lost your freaking mind.
In 2024.
Exactly.
But he still might be the best option for them.
One team still up on the board as far as first snap week one. It didn't go well this weekend, if we're being honest, about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll come back and discuss their quarterback room next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We've got week zero in college football coming up. And to discuss, a gentleman that's made a seamless transition. I'm sure if he wants to coach again, he will. But he's awesome for ESPN as a college football analyst. Of course, Dan Mullen, former head coach, Florida, Mississippi State, now with ESPN, where he's killing it. At Coach Dan Mullen on Twitter. We say hi to Coach on the Progressive Guest Line. Coach, I'll start here as we're excited for college football to get going. Have you adjusted to all the changes? There's no Nick Saban, realignment. We've got Cal in the ACC. Have you kind of gained your bearings with all the adjustments in college football as we start?
Standing that everybody's there, but I'm going to tell you, I think during the season, they're going to hit you at different times. You know, when you're turning on, like, you know, Cal SMU as an ACC game or whatever, you know, with those things happening, and there's going to be a lot of different things that come up during the course of the year that you're not used to seeing. And the traditional college football fan's going to sit there and be taken aback, even though I think everybody has kind of wrapped their head around it going into the season. In the middle of the season, I think it's going to shake everybody up of where they're at and where their team's at with the 12-team playoff, all the different realignments, what's happening, where their team stands, and what the future holds is going to be pretty interesting.
Coach, I want to ask you, I mentioned Nick Saban. It's going to be weird to not have Nick Saban on the sideline there at Alabama. But can you tell us about the job that Kalen DeBoer has in front of him? Because we look at these numbers and try to understand what the football team is. But how about just following a legend as far as DeBoer?
Well, I think that's one of the hardest jobs to do. You know, he's got to come in and he's going to implement his program. And you know, and build the program. You can't imitate somebody. You know, you have to build the head coach. The program's going to be kind of what you believe in and who you are. And I think it's really important that Kalen DeBoer does that. However, he's got to respect everything and embrace everything that Nick has done. You can't come into the players and say, hey, guys, this is the best way to do it. And the players looking, scratching their head, saying, well, you know, we've done it this the other way here with all these national championships. So we know that way works. And that player buy-in is so huge. But I think the one thing that I've seen from Kalen DeBoer that has been fantastic, one, he's an extremely intelligent football coach. He's not afraid to think outside the box. I think he is embraced, which is not the easiest thing to do, but he's embraced having Nick Saban right down the hall. You know, if you see Nick still around the program, involved in the program, around the building, and which is a really smart thing for Kalen DeBoer to do. I was fortunate enough when I was coaching at the University of Florida, I had Steve Spurrier right down the hall. And to me, you know, hey, I want to tap into that knowledge as much as possible. And I think Kalen DeBoer is someone that he can put the ego aside, if you will, that some people have, or I don't know if it's ego or a sense of insecurity. He could put that aside, you know, and say, hey, listen, I know this is my program. I'm in charge of this now, but I have one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game right down the hall. I'm going to take his knowledge and take anything he'll give me to help us continue to make Alabama a great football program. And Kalen DeBoer so far has been the right guy to do that.
Talking to Coach Dan Mullen, of course, ESPN college football analyst, former head coach, many years. So I'm looking at the board, Coach, and Georgia and Ohio State, those are your two favorites to win a national championship. And then there's a bit of a separation. You get to Oregon, Texas, Ole Miss. Should Georgia and Ohio State kind of be on their own tier?
I don't know about that. You know, and I think you look at things. I think Texas certainly made a statement last year that they belong. I mean, they actually went to the playoffs over Georgia last year, and they have a quarterback coming back. They brought in some talent on the edge, even though they lost some. You know, Oregon, hey, anytime you have a veteran quarterback that's played a lot of football and won on a talented roster, you're dangerous. They get Ohio State at home, which is going to be pretty exciting. I think they're certainly going to be in the mix and have something to do with it. And I think, you know, the thing that you're getting into now, when you're getting to this 12-team playoff, I think things are going to be a little bit different in that 12-team playoff. And I do think that, obviously, Ohio State and Georgia both have fantastic football teams, are both really good. And so they're going to be tough to beat. But I think there's going to be a lot more teams out there that potentially can give them a run for the money. And, I think winning that conference title and getting that bye in the first round of the playoffs is going to be pretty big. And, a lot is going to have to do with schedule to who gets into the championship game. I think there's, people thought there was some controversy before. I think we could have a whole bunch of teams that, you could make the argument should be in that 12-team playoff at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating, Coach. I'm curious, have you thought through, do you like the 12-team playoff? We could see some gamesmanship towards the end of the year, as you mentioned, when the polls start jockeying. I mean, it's going to be great entertainment. Are you in favor of the 12 teams?
Sure. We'll see. I guess I come from the coaching realm, right? Which is they tell us what we're doing and we adapt to make it happen as a coach.
Right.
I don't think they went to the coach and said, hey, like the coaches weren't the ones that voted on everything, and I think coaches are great with it. But I think, what's going to be very interesting, and you see a lot of the predictions coming out now, you go to the ACC, I wouldn't be surprised. There could be 4-10-2 teams in the ACC with Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and NC State. Because you look at the schedules and who people don't play, that would be interesting. Or, is a 10-2 team from the ACC getting left out? You look at the Big Ten, and, I always think to win a championship, a lot comes, you have to stay healthy, one, and then you look at your schedule. Obviously, you have to have talent, right? You have to be a very talented team. But when you have a talented team, you're going to look and say, okay, if we stay healthy as a team with this roster we have a team to compete for a championship. Okay, let's look at our schedule. Does it line up in a favorable way for us? Because you go to the Big Ten, I'm going to yell, people are going to freak out on this one. Go look at Iowa's schedule, and you're going to look and say, I see 10-2 there. And you're going to go look at Penn State and say, I see 10-2 there. And you're going to see Ohio State. You're going to say, could be 11-1 or 10-2. Oregon, 11-1, 10-2. Michigan, 11-1, 10-2. Okay, well, who's getting in out of the Big Ten? Then you go down to the SEC and you look at a team like Missouri, who has the easiest schedule and maybe all of college football this year, one of the easiest schedules in college football this year. Certainly, I think the easiest schedule in the SEC easily could be a 10 or 11 win team, with how that lines up. So throw them into the mix with Georgia, with Alabama, with Texas, with Ole Miss, who has a very favorable schedule and a very talented roster returning. And then you have Tennessee and LSU as sleeper teams right there. And then you go to the, you know, to the Big 12 and you look and you say, okay, well, Oklahoma State has a great roster returning. Utah has an excellent roster returning. There's some talent at Arizona. How's that going to play out? Who are going to be the 12 teams? And I think there's going to be an argument at the end where, there's an awful lot of teams that are vying for that position. And you're going to look at some schedules and say, you know what, this team had a talented roster, some really good players, a favorable schedule. They got 10 wins. Does that put them in the playoffs? Because you might have a group of teams that are deserving, and then you're going to be scratching your head who's in, who's out at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Last one from me, Coach. Oregon to the Big Ten. Do you think there's a lot of love for Lanning in Oregon right now? Do you think that is going to be an adjustment for Oregon moving conferences?
I think it certainly will. I think, you know, obviously, you know, the benefit plan in the Northwest, they play in some pretty bad weather games late in the year. Their guys have played in some rougher games more than the Southern California teams that like that beautiful weather. But I think it will. I think, you also have to think of the Big Ten's adjustment to Oregon, who's going to play a little bit more of a wide open speed game than a lot of Big Ten teams. And so I think the adjustment goes both ways. You know, I'm a college football traditionalist. I love the rivalries. I love all of this stuff that, you know, was all about college football in the past and all the regional rivalries where there's so much local passion. But it's become a much more of a national game. And I think the realignment has really set up now as much more of a national game with teams playing national schedules. And that's kind of shown in the realignment. I think Oregon has a great recipe to have a very successful year.
Coach, look forward to watching you all season on ESPN. Coach Dan Mullen. You can find him on Twitter at Coach Dan Mullen as well. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate the time today.
Anytime. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. It's a good booking by the big guy. Enjoy our conversations with Dan Mullen. He is very good on TV. Yeah, he'll say some things.
Oh, and he has energy, he's fun, and I really like what he was saying about the impact where all these teams are going to be 10-2. To your point about the gamesmanship, I think we're going to live in a world where a team like Georgia understands that they're playing with a mulligan, that they know that they can lose one game and we're going to see a different side of them. I don't know, good, bad, how that plays out. But I do think it's going to give some of these teams some breathing room where they've been conditioned for, like, I don't know, the last 20 years to think one loss and the season is potentially over. I think this opportunity with the 12-team playoff, we could see a team lose 1-2 games and still be alive, and that could change the way these teams approach the final 3-4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and it's okay, even for professional bettors, to say, we don't know how it's going to look. This is going to be a weird year of a lot of feeling out. And towards the end of the year, there could be a lot of gamesmanship. Speaking of games, Sharp Money Survivor is up next. Okay, Sharp Money, Fezzik's coming up in about 29 minutes. Right now, we're going to talk to Major League Baseball handicapper Derek Carty, ESPN, Roto Grinders, Covers, EV Analytics. You can find Derek on Twitter at Derek Carty as well. He is in God's country, hanging out at the Jersey Shore, which is great. We say hi to Derek. Derek, welcome to the program. This is my first time getting a chance to speak with you. I always like to talk about the journey into sports betting. If you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of your story.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the sports analytics field for 15 or so years now, well before sports betting was legal. I was on the baseball analytics side, the fantasy baseball side, then into DFS, and then into sports betting as well the last, I guess, last few years now. But yeah, I mean, over my years in the industry, I've worked with a lot of really, really smart people, a lot of people who are making decisions for major league clubs now, people I've learned a lot from. Kind of helped me learn, you know, all the methods and everything I use to build my projection systems, which have done pretty well for bettors.
No, he's being humble. His projections have done more than pretty well. known in the industry. I will say this is the, I've done a lot of interviews with people. It's the nicest house we've ever had somebody interviewed from. That is, the analytics are doing well, my friend. All right, let's start. We'll get into some baseball. Dustin, I'll hit you up with the props, but I'll start here. The Angels at the Royals. I think you're going to take a nice little price here with the Angels.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Angels money line here. Angels, you can get plus 200, plus 205. They're facing Seth Lugo, who's, I mean, at one point, I mean, in the Cy Young conversation, he has like a 3 ERA, but he's just not this good. He's the same guy he's always been. You look at his peripherals, they're exactly the same. You look at his stuff metrics, they're exactly the same. This is a guy who's just getting by on kind of getting lucky, and I think the market is overrating him, which is giving us even more value on the Angels than we might otherwise get, because the Angels are a bad team, and there's usually going to be values on the Angels anyway, because people don't want to bet on the Angels. They don't like to bet on the bad teams. And so that's why the books give us lines where there's actually value to bet on the bad team. So give me some Angels today.
I love it. Take a shot. And I see that. I also like that run line. I like to see the plus 1.5. You get a plus price on that run line as well, big guy. Big guy, go ahead and set Derek up on these props.
Yeah, and Lugo hasn't been right lately, but a guy who has been right is Jackson Holliday for the Orioles since getting called back up, hitting about 275 homers over the last month, Derek. When you see his matchup tonight with Quintana, what are you going to do with Jackson Holliday in Baltimore?
My favorite bet on him today, I like his walks over half a walk for, I got it at plus 260 earlier today. Jackson Holliday is a guy who came up earlier in the year, really, really struggled. But we knew he was a top prospect. He came up, was exposed to the big leagues, didn't do well, but got the feedback he needed, went back to the minors, worked on it, came back up, and he's been great since then. But the books seem like they're kind of, I mean, they've been doing this for weeks now, but they're setting his lines based on his entire year, when earlier in the year really isn't representative of who he is as a prospect, who he is now. And so with the way he's hitting, with the way pitchers are respecting him more now, he's drawing more walks, and that's something that we should expect him to do going forward. In AAA, he had a 20% walk rate, like, and in the majors, you know, his first cup of coffee, he had like a 4% or something. Like, that's going up, and it has. And when you're going to give us plus 260 against a guy who has been, you know, issuing some walks lately, I like the value on this one quite a bit.
Okay, then on the hill for Baltimore, Derek, we've got Trevor Rogers. Things haven't really gone great the first few starts for Baltimore. However, facing a Mets lineup he's familiar with, so an intriguing matchup here. When you look at backing or betting on Trevor Rogers, what are you looking at doing with him, fade or backing him today against the Mets?
I'm looking at the walks market for him also, but on the pitching side, under 1.5 walks allowed. I got it at plus 180 earlier. I think your best line now is maybe like plus 140 or so. Really, these pitcher walk unders have been great this year. It's a market that I just love. The books don't seem to price them very well. This is a guy who, he's not amazing, but Baltimore is a team that's going to keep him on kind of a shorter leash. Like, he's like an 85 pitch guy, so he's not going to go super deep. The Mets are a below average walk team. This is a spot where you should project him to, you know, go over or under this line close to 50% of the time. And if they're going to give us big plus money on it, you're just going to take that and any other like it over the course of the year, and you're going to profit.
We're talking to our buddy Derek Carty, Major League Baseball handicapper. He does a lot of sports, though. ESPN Roto Grinders covers EV analytics at Derek Carty. A must follow on Twitter. I will say this about Jackson Holliday. Look, I know I'm an old man, but that's the youngest looking human being that's ever existed. Like, that, it does. Derek, you got a baby face too. That kid looks so young. Am I crazy, guys? He just looks like a child.
Yeah, I mean, he is young though. Like, how old?
He's 20.
He's 20.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
He's 20. No. He was born the year I graduated high school.
Okay, touche, boys, touche. But he still looks young.
No, he looks like he could be in the Little League World Series right now.
I know, it's crazy. All right, go ahead and set Derek up on another prop here, big guy.
All right, this kid pitching for Cincinnati, Julian Aguiar. Don't know much about him. Obviously, the Reds can always use more pitchers. Attacking him today in the walk market as well, Derek?
Yep, very similar bet, very similar reasons. He's a guy who in the minors did not go very deep, 75, 80 pitches. not a real prospect, but a guy who does profile with plus control, plus command. So against a team that, again, a little bit below average for walks, this is a good spot for him. I'm projecting him to hit this 59% of the time. So if you're going to give me plus 125 for it, I'm gonna take that.
On the under.
On the under.
Yes, awesome. Awesome.
All right. And then one more big guy.
Last one, Joe Boyle. Don't know what to make of this guy for the A's. Like I'm fading him in the game today. I'm backing the Rays, but Taj Bradley hasn't been great lately. However, Joe Boyle just doesn't have good stats on the year. Again, another walk prop. How are you attacking Joe Boyle?
Same thing. Under 2.5 plus 145. It's moved. I think the best you can find now is maybe 135 or 125. Which I think says something that even though Joe Boyle has been walking guys like crazy, the market is still moving down on him. 2.5 walks is a big number for anybody. Even a guy with bad control, 3 walks in a game is always going to be a tall order. It's another one where I haven't projected to win this, you know, to go under 54% of the time, and you're giving it to me at plus 145. So I just play a bunch of these and, you know, you're going to hit some, you're going to lose some, but you're going to come out on top in the end because they're just giving us the odds on it.
Well, he started with a 2-1 plus 205 on the Angels, and then he just gave us prices on prices the rest of the way. You love to see it. I want to ask you just, we got about 3 minutes here, Derek. Another Derek. You're bullish on Derek Carr's passing overs this year. How come?
Mostly because everyone hates him and thinks he's bad. And the market certainly does because they have him priced at 3,300 yards. If he plays a full season and doesn't get hurt, I have him projected for over 4,000, even with like a, you know, missing a quarter of the year due to injury, being very, very conservative. I still have him projected about 350 yards over this number. He plays in a very fast paced offense, which I don't think people realize. Bringing over Kubiak now, his offense in Minnesota was really fast. So this is a New Orleans offense that should be getting a lot of plays run, which should mean more volume for Carr, which is a good thing. They'll be playing from behind in plenty of games where he'll be getting garbage time stats. They'll be playing indoors a lot. And he's done this every year of his career, except his rookie year. So it's just, the number's just too low.
Yeah, that's a you're right. The perception of Derek Carr doesn't equal the overall production in his career. Russell Wilson, we were having this conversation, Derek, just a bit ago. He's toast. That offense is going to be brutal to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how many books still have his props up, but any that do, he was up around, you know, 2,700, 2,500 passing yards. I'll bet the under on him for sure. He's not good anymore. He's in an offense that's going to be run by Arthur Smith that projects as the most run-heavy offense in all of football. And then he has Justin Fields behind him who, I mean, there's a chance that Justin Fields starts on opening day, you know, week one. When I looked the last time, I think Wilson betting markets had him as a, I forget, I think about like an 80%. Yeah, like an 80% favorite to start on week one. But that means there's 20% chance of Fields starting week one. And there's plenty of chance that Fields comes in after the fact because Wilson gets hurt or he's bad. I'll take his unders all day.
100%. 100%. Derek Carty, Major League Baseball handicapper, of course, football as well. ESPN RotoGrinders covers EV analytics. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at Derek Carty on X. Derek, great stuff. We'll talk to you as the season gets closer. Enjoy the shore. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it, buddy. Like that. Like the cut of his jib with all those prices today, big guy. If you missed any of the props, we're going to throw them up on the best bets page over at vsin.com. Now, he's at the Jersey Shore. That is Giants country. We're Jets country. We need to talk about Daniel Jones coming back. That means Steve Fezzik season. His notes today are unbelievable. So we're going to get to those. Also, we've got a ton of Ask the Pro questions coming in. SharpMoney at VSiN.com. Everybody looks forward to Fez on a Monday here on Sharp Money. We love him. Of course, professional bettor Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports. 2 Z's and a K. Don't believe the fake accounts as football season is approaching. I have to start with a bit of a controversial text, and I called you wet blanket, Fez, because you said, let's discuss why all the horse racing discussion is wildly entertaining. However, in my opinion, there is no chance we're going to actually be able to win doing it. Okay, Fez, explain yourself.
Well, we don't win when we're bowling or we're golfing, and it's still, you know, enormously entertaining. So that doesn't mean don't do it. But what I was referring to is when we had a show where we got the racetracks mixed up. So we had one handicapper, Samish, giving out the winners at Gulfstream. And then we had our better. Where were you betting those?
He said Saratoga, and I didn't win just one race. I won like three races at Gulfstream with his numbers at Saratoga.
So this is very important, all right? So a wildly entertaining show. I give it an A+. But of course, we are just having fun. We're betting like $5 a race. We're not really like advocating like that this is going to be a winning strategy. We don't walk by roulette wheel and see 33 black came up three straight times. Oh, we have a new system. Like, we're going to bet 33 black. So, you know, the movie A Perfect Mind, I think with Russell Crowe, showed he's trying to find like the Russian code in the newspaper, right? And he captures it. And he determines the patterns, but there is no pattern. If you look hard enough, eventually you're going to find a pattern that was there, but it will cease to exist going forward. So I just want to discourage anyone. Hey, for fun, put $2 down. You're going to bet it anyways. It's great, but you're not actually going to win doing stuff like that.
I'm surprised you never got into horse racing because, it takes a lot of work. I understand it's an arduous process to handicap a card, but with your analytical mind, I would have thought you would get into it. Maybe it's where you grew up. You didn't have a track by you.
Listen, the big difference between horse racing and sports betting is horse racing takes out like a 20% rake. Sports betting at minus 110, it's 4.54%. So if you want to compare apples to apples, imagine trying to win betting sports laying minus 140 instead of laying minus 110. Now, I get all the other reasons why horse racing can be more beatable, but that's four times the VIG. And then on top of it, you're not even locking in your bet. You bet a horse 7-1, what's this? It only paid plus 450 because all this money came in on that horse right at post. So the double whammy of not being able to lock in my bet and the four times house VIG, it's just too onerous. There's lots of people that make a living betting horses. They do it two ways. They get rebates on all their bets, like 10% rebates, or, and Samish has talked about this, they're chasing like these pick sixes and these promotional things where they're playing against the public for the most part, and oftentimes the rollovers. So it's like that movie where the dude and Marge go large in the lottery, and they let everybody else lose in the lottery for like 4 days, and then, oh, today the lottery has to pay out. Okay, well, today we're playing the lottery. Today we have an advantage. So that's the way the horse people are winning. But that doesn't mean don't play. It's fun. It's fun to go golfing also. You're just not going to actually win. And anyone's naysayers out there like, Fez liked all the overs, and he was completely wrong. And I was completely wrong, and I did a terrible job with my preseason totals. I'm not going to be right all the time. But anyone wants to disagree with me, I'd be more than happy. I'll put up $1,000. He can put up $1,000. He can do his play of the day in horse racing each and every day for the rest of the year. And if he turns a profit, I'll donate $1,000 to his favorite charity. And if he doesn't, he can donate $1,000 to my favorite charity. Would welcome it.
By the way, I think the movie Large Marge is Pee Wee's Playhouse. Was that it?
No.
Remember that?
It's a movie, Bryan Cranston, a couple years ago. I never saw it. That's the movie, right? It's something.
Someone and Marge go large where they discover a loophole in the lottery due to these payouts that just keep
increasing. Own a convenience store or something, so they have like insider info on it.
But they.
All right, well.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Well,
it was, look,
we agree to disagree, but always a wonderful argument from Fezzik. Now, he does run with a different crowd, maybe not horse. He runs with your boy George Palanakis with the Reuben sandwiches over there in Chicago. So I don't know if he's a horse racer, but that is. It does appear that Mr. Palanakis is now your best friend. Is that fair?
Paganakis? I don't know his last name.
George Riley, George P. is like, but you know what? I got to tell you, I'm loving George. I'm worried that he's not the most healthy lifestyle guy.
No, you think?
You know, he's like healthy breakfast, and he's got like his hash browns and his like, you know, his bacon and his sausage and his pancakes. But I'm a little worried about George. He went to Wrigley Field, Patrick, for the first time in 30 years. I was happy, but I don't think he went with anyone. He did. He went solo. And I was that's not the best plus EV move, you know. You want to bring
no, it's not.
You want to bring somebody with you when you go Wrigley. I love Wrigley, and I love Wrigleyville, and that's part of my to be a great baseball stadium. Dodger Stadium is disqualified because there's no experience, whereas in Wrigleyville, before the game, after the game, you can go to the bars, you can go to the restaurants. It's just a fantastic 8-hour experience instead of just a 2.5-hour experience within the ballpark.
Yeah, no, it's well put. I love when they're built into the cities as well. All right, preseason, we're going to start running through your notes, and we've got a ton of questions coming in for professional bettor Steve Fezzik. Yeah, you mentioned the unders cashing at an alarming rate in the preseason. Why don't we start with your first note today, and we can kind of just give an overview from your perspective. Let's talk about two NFL lines at 2.75. Why I like the Kansas City Chiefs at -2.5 versus Baltimore, and Atlanta -2.5 versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull back the curtain a little. NFL bettors love paying strict attention to games that are lined right at that 2.5 to 3 mark. Why? Because you basically can wager risk-free, vig-free, because you can find a Kansas City -2.5 lay $1.10. Or you find a Baltimore +3 lay $1.10, you can make both those wagers, you'll roughly break even. So instead of laying -110, now we're kind of like playing with no vig, so I'm almost forced to make a bet on this game. And Patrick, I have gone all over the place with this game. Earlier in the summer, I laid it with Kansas City -2.5, then the line went up to 3, and then Kansas City, I started being very worried about their wide receiving core and their issues there. And I said, boy, I got a bad bet. The crack man and I, we have a big bet on Kansas City, and we're starting to buy up some Ravens +3. And now I've come full circle. You know what? I don't like the Ravens. I don't like the newly configured O-line, although it's held up okay. And Kansas City's wide receivers suddenly look good in preseason. So I would recommend at this point, South Point, Kansas City -2.5, lay $1.10. That's the way I would go.
And see, that is the consummate gentleman. He just recommended a book that won't take his bets. You're a good guy.
Tell him Fez sent you. I would make the bet first, though. Yes.
Yeah, definitely get your money down before you mention his name.
Fezzik bopping around the South Point with a fake nose and a staff.
It's like the movie The Sting, where the villain comes in and he's trying to bet on horse racing. The owners of the bookie palace there, they're like, "What's your problem, bud?" No problem. Want to bet on Mystic Dan to win 4-1? Yes.
Hey, that was good. Yeah, Mystic Dan, good. A relevant horse. Tremendous. Fezzik, looking forward to the Traverse coming up this weekend there at Saratoga. We've got 3 up, 3 down from Fezzik, and I think, Dustin, you have a graphic for these. We'll start with your teams that are up. You've got Atlanta, Denver, and Chicago on the up here, Fez.
I love it. We're talking positive. See, Patrick is super, super positive, unlike someone else who might be on the show at times.
You don't get the DMs I get from people, Steve. They're very different.
Oh, no. Here we go.
You know what? It's the path you've chosen.
You ever ask someone why they unfollowed you, Steve?
No.
Yeah, of course, because I was going to say you're normal, but you're not.
Dustin's just waiting for Taylor Mathis to get in his DMs.
Trying.
Taylor Mathis is the walking bets gal, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yes.
Big
yes,
fan.
Yes, yes.
I'm subscribed. All right, so Atlanta, see, all positive. So the Falcons, I was very concerned about the Falcons. I've checked with my friend Dr. Chow. He's like, Kirk Cousins should be 100%. I like that subpar defense is getting boistered with the additions, so I'm getting more positive about Atlanta. And so, frankly, I'm aboard. Atlanta, I think, could be a slightly above-average team. I thought they'd be an average team. I have an up arrow on Atlanta.
Denver is next. Up arrow for Mr. Fez.
Huge up arrow. You know what? The more I think about this, it's draft night, right? It's that whole experience during the draft. And what do the new rookie quarterbacks do? They make commercials. They buy Armani suits. They just live it up. You know, they've been dreaming about this their entire life. What does Bo Nix do? He takes his duffel bag, and he's trying out for all these teams, you know, and he's, like, got duct tape and gloves in the duffel bag and nothing else. This is a dude that just wants to ball, and I'm aboard. He absolutely looks the part, looks like he's ready to lead an NFL team. And Denver, they're lined at 5.5 wins. Think about this. The Patriots are god-awful, and the Patriots are like 4.75. And Denver's 5.5, and they're so much better than the Patriots, and they have a quarterback up arrow, Denver.
Love it. And Chicago, we'll come back with Chicago, positivity only, as an up. And then we'll get to your three downs. And Mike Somich, who generally is paying attention, you're not going to want to listen to one of Mr. Fezzik's downs. That's what I will say. Dustin, you hanging in there? Still kind of have a curmudgeonly look on the face there.
No. You put something in the universe that I'm happy you did. Hopefully, God willing, the DMs open up.
Curmudgeon. Curmudgeon, 50-1, head to the window. Curmudgeon reference.
A South Point from Fez. Fezzik, you're a legend. We're coming back.